pictures in the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go.
Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Are you sure you're ready to go? You're absolutely positive you're doing the will of God? Sometimes we always wonder if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Well, I'm going to tell you, Satan is going to throw some obstacles in your path. It's going to get more so now than ever. We're getting closer to something in this generation. What? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but you can sure see the signs of the times. In the news, increasing immensely, the weakening, the thinning of the veil, the protective hedge that God has around us. You could not believe it. You'd need glasses that can see the supernatural. Like on that silly movie they have. If you had those kind of 3D glasses, if you will, to see the real action around you going on in the supernatural realm of a frequency vibration, if you will. Oh my gosh, I sound like a new ager, don't I? Of those supernatural beings in the second heaven that are being held back. Being held back by the hedge of God. When he removes his church, he's going to remove that veil. And it is going to get some kind of ugly down here. Around here. On the day of the Lord. The natural followers, witchcraft, witches, druids, warlocks, Illuminati, Freemasons, it's not repented of the oath. They're led to believe they're going to be the saints of the next world evolution. That's what they're hoping on. And they'll buy their way into it. They'll advance themselves. Each degree they go up, they get closer to godhood or whatever. When God removes that protective hedge, they will be the ones tormented. But in the meantime, Satan's already have them. He already has them. So he's going to work on you and keeping you from doing the will of the Father. There are going to be interruptions from family members, from friends outside that don't even know they're being used. He's going to come at you personally. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what gets you distracted. He knows. He watches. Now you say, how does he do this? He's like Santa Claus? I say, no. You see, the millions of demons were the giants, were the men of renown, were the children of the fallen angels back in the Old Testament that lost the bodies to be able to interact in this realm. Their bodies were destroyed in the flood. They're not of God. So they went to the abyss. They were in the universe. They were another dimension because it's spiritual form, faster moving molecules into, for example, ice that melts because of the energy of heat, turns it to steam if it goes fast. So, consequently, the ice would turn into steam. How does it do that? It's still the water. But the energy put on the ice caused the molecules to speed up and sent the water into another dimension. So I guess you could say the ice cube ascended. But the middle part, the water part, the water vibration where it turns into water, is the second heaven. The first heaven is the ice cube. Increase the molecule vibration, and you have water in the second heaven. First heaven is the ice cube. Second heaven is the water. The third heaven, the spiritual form, is the steam. See how it works? So I guess you could say the ice cube ascended, became a better ice cube, as steam. Well, that's the physics of it. So when God translated, Enoch, he turned Enoch, ice cube, into steam going to heaven by translating using energy. God used energy to develop the universe, put everything in motion. Quantum physics was created by God. God don't need formulas and elemental symbols and all this stuff, chemical symbols and all. He don't need that. But Satan does. Because Satan doesn't know. But Satan knows alchemy. Algebra. Formulas. Manipulation. Particles, etc. Only by trial and error could he achieve this. And that's through science. That's why it's always a theory. See how it's working? So God, all he's got to do to change the formulas, like he did the Tower of Babel, he tore that down. That wasn't hard to do. He just tore it down and changed languages. But today, things more sophisticated. You ever wondered why they have to keep upgrading? Some people think it's because of money. They want to make more money. They got to upgrade. Because, no. God keeps changing frequencies on them. The other computers wind down. They start burning up. They start blacking out. They can't last because God keeps changing the frequency. He keeps pushing the limit till it's going to be full house, all in. And they're not going to have any money to fill it up. You understand that? So they're going to have to fold. No pun intended. That's coming. The end of the game is going to be soon. That's my hyperbole to give an idea about where we are and what's going on. On a realm that we don't even, it's beyond us. Our realm is doing the will of God. Now, that's what we do. All this other is, you know, interesting to know, but all that's God's business. What we got to do? Ourselves, our families, friends, people we run into, they're doing the will of the Father. That's really the biggest issue right now. And me worrying about Agenda 21 is not doing the will of the Father. Me causing other people to worry about Agenda 21 is certainly not doing the will of the Father, but trying to take them away from the will of the Father. Ah! To let them know what to stay away from, but let them know how they can defeat it. That's called exposing, rebuking, and correcting. Exposing the Illuminati. I'm exposing witchcraft. Yeah, no, you're teaching witchcraft. Now let's rebuke it, correct it, and identify for what it really is. In addition to exposing it. Now you get somewhere, you see. Don't confuse exposing with teaching. It's very tricky how they do that. Dedicate the broadcast and let's get started. About God's power for reaching the world and doing the will of the Father. Lord, we thank you tonight for the opportunity we have for Bible study now, Father, that it's not under pressure, Lord, but we see the time's coming. Father, we know the time's going to get harder as we go along. Father, we do pray tonight for protection in the blood of Jesus. We pray, Father, that families can come together, that unsaved members of families, Lord, we need your help to soften their hearts, Father, and put a spirit of burden upon them that they'll seek the truth. Father, to bring people to repentance, Father, to touch their heart, to call them in. And Lord, we call upon you to help others to forgive and to make amends and clean the house up, Lord. We pray for our brethren that are being targeted. We pray for our brethren, Father, that's been given the psychotropic drugs, the thoughts of suicide to be wiped clean, and divine appointments to take the place. We pray for the children that's being sought after for these witchcraft rituals they have. And Father, to turn the tide on these political moves and lawmaking moves of where they're going to try to control people, Lord, that knowledge will be let out. People will resist it, fight against it. But in the middle, that, Lord, that you'll be witnessed and use these times of troubles to bring people to you. Father, we know to render to Caesar that which is Caesar, but unto God which is spiritual, unto God. Father, help us to discern which is which with your Holy Spirit and to do the will of the Father. Father, we need to know the will. Give us the courage and strength to carry it through. Especially in awakening, Lord, in these churches. My Father, we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, if you had any touch, any connection with the secret societies, in any generation of your family, you have to come to grips with it, because it's holding you back. I'm telling you right now, if you have family members that use the Ouija board, which is real, that's why they make it pink, to make it look like it's a toy. I mentioned this once before. I went to make some keys. I went to a place called Robbie's Military Surplus Store. They make keys there. And I saw a pink 9mm pistol. It's pink. A pink pistol. And a pink rifle. Well, guess what? The pink pistol will kill you about as quick as a black pistol will. Well, a pink Ouija board will kill you, literally, because the influence that will drain upon you has before, it has now. Suicide, kids, suicide. Look at the research done on this Ouija board. It is very dangerous. It's very real. It goes back to 600 A.D. of how they open portals for demons to come into this realm. And these preachers out here, 99%, 98%, not all of them, but a majority of them, aren't teaching people how to stay away from these Ouija boards, to stay away from the video games, stay away from these influences. They're not doing it. They just give lukewarm, watered-down preaching that people just sit there and move their heads up and down like a water duck and don't get nothing done. It's not all of them, but probably 95-plus percent. Because it's what they're taught to do, it's what they're told to do, it's what they're doing. They fall in love with their preacher or their pastor or their rabbi or their priest or pope or whatever. And don't say, wait a minute, what he's talking about is not real. Whether you like him or not has nothing to do with anything. It's if he's preaching the true word of God. Using the right Bibles. Very important. Well, doing the will of the Father. What is God's will in your life? I'm not a theologian. I improvise. My lack of going to school. I wouldn't go to theology school now if they paid me. I wouldn't last long anyway. Because I wouldn't just sit there and let them talk about the Septuagint like it was important. Or like the Apocrypha. I would have to say something. And I wouldn't stop saying something because I can't just sit there and take it. I just can't do that. Never have, never will. The right question is, what is God's will? When people seek to know and do the will of God, many ask the question, what's God's will in my life? There's a professor by the name of Dr. Gaines Dobbins. He would say, quote, if you ask the wrong question, you're going to get the wrong answer, unquote. So, you know, we assume that every question is a legitimate question. When I taught class, I taught adults from 1988 to, 2004. The skills of martial arts and physical security and security guard operations and so forth and so on. Personal protection and this, that, and the other. And I always said, I hate dumb questions. And they'd all kind of look at you funny in the class. And I say, well, but there's only one dumb question ever. I said, that's the question you don't ask. Oh. So we assume that every question is a legitimate question. Well, I guess some cases it's not. Because when we ask, what is God's will for my life? The right question is, what is God's will that we can fulfill? When we pursue an answer and always come up wrong, we can always figure out what's happening. Didn't JFK come up with something like this? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Ask not what God can do for you, but what you can do for God. Oh, what a concept that is. It kind of changes things, don't it? Would that not be the solution of all our problems if we was to just change that question around? Always check to see if you've asked the right question before you pursue the answer. What's God's will for my life? Is not the right question. The right question is, what is God's will? And once you know God's will, then you can adjust your life to Him. So in other words, what is it that God is proposing where I am? What purpose does He have for me if I'm willing to do it? Once you know what God's doing, then you'll know what you need to do. The focus needs to be on God, not your life. We get caught up in our own lives. You see, when you get caught up in your own life, what is it you can really do? What are you really able to do? How much of your life can you change? Hence, if you're a God, as the Rosicrucians, the Freemasons, the secret societies aspire to be, Genesis 3:2-2. That's what they aspire to be. A God. That's what that means. That's exactly what it means. Look up Genesis 3, verse 2:2. Family, this is all of your politicians. And the Skull and Bones. And these guys. They all aspire to be gods. That's the big picture. Behind the scenes. They go to Bohemian Grove. They do the Skull and Bones thing. Here's a perfect example. Watch this.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go
wild. I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the website.
Number 322?
First of all, he's not the nominee. But I look forward...
Are you prepared to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim, but one thing is not a secret. I disagree with this president's direction that he's taking the country. We can do a better job, and I intend to do it.
And we'll be watching Be Safe on the Campaign Trail. John Kerry, thanks for joining us, and we'll be right back.
That interviewer, Rupert, he died of cancer not long after. He really ticked them off bad when he started doing that. He was trying to give us a message. He died sometime after that interview. Did you know that Kerry and Bush are cousins? Romney's a cousin too. Cheney's a cousin too. They're all in the same bloodline. Satan uses humankind, going back to Elizabeth and so forth, in a bloodline of the fallen angels. Of hybrids. This is what it is. And the 322 they're talking about is the man to become God. Look it up on your Bible. Genesis 3 verse 2:2. This is serious stuff. This is not some game of conspiracy theory and all this, that, and the other. This is the truth. This is what's really going on. The Rosicrucians, the politicians and the CEOs and the scientists and those in Satanism and so forth and so on, they believe them to be gods as they evolve into the next level, doing certain things and belonging to certain groups, holding secrets that us people aren't supposed to hear. Are they doing the will of the Father? Are they doing their own will? Well, they're doing the will of another father, the same father of Cain. I don't mean biological, I mean spiritual. Your Christian identity and other groups really take that literal. They say that Cain is the offspring, literal, biological offspring of Eve and Satan. That's way out there. But that's called the serpent seed doctrine. They use Genesis 4, verse 1 to support it. And that's not anything near what is the truth. It is a complete library full of document, well, from their own manipulation of scripture to prove that Cain is the offspring of Satan and Eve. And they get into this racist notion. All this is distraction, family. All of it's distraction. And they're doing the will of another father. and that's not a biological father, and neither is Cain. You are the father of offspring of Cain. Means evil, doesn't mean biological. The Bible is biological and spiritual, but mostly spiritual. Doing the will of whose father are we doing the will of? You want to make sure you're doing the will of your father in heaven. So the focus needs to be on God. God of the Bible, not our lives. Easy said, not easy done in this materialistic world. So when you want to learn how to know and do the will of God, no better model than Jesus. What did he do? And during his 33 years on this earth, he perfectly completed every assignment God gave him. He never failed to do the will of Father. He never sinned. That's where those like Copeland and Joyce Myers and Dollar and Jakes, Brakes, whatever, and those in TBN, those of 700 Club, mainly TBN, and what? Well, that Jesus, when he went for the 3 days after death on the cross, he went to hell to be punished. Joyce Myers says he's a first born again Christian. Copeland, 33rd degree Mason, Joyce Myers, an Eastern Star Freemason, says that they were jumping on Jesus and beating him up and all kinds of things, punishing him. He was the first born-again Christian. Wait a minute. No. If he never sinned, he could never be born again. He was born the day he was born. He was sinless. See how the evil ones in these churches do and how they pull in tens of thousands of people. And you can clearly see that what they're teaching is heresy just enough to pull people away. Billy Graham's another one. That's a hard one to show people, but now he denies Jesus. It's clear. In his own words. Schuller, the same thing. They're all coming out. MacArthur says, John MacArthur says, take the mark of the beast. I've played that recording. His own words, you can watch him say it. It's like it's a jaw-dropping comment. It's like they're all coming out. You're going to be on a really small iceberg here in the future. Who is always at work? God and Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And how much can the Son do by himself? Nothing. You need God in your life through Jesus Christ. And one of the best examples is Jesus Christ. His life. Because he's coming back. And an example of Jesus was that the Father had been working right up until now. God has got you working. You do nothing of your own initiative. You want to watch and see what the Father is doing. To do and see what the Father is already doing. That the Father loves you. And he shows you everything that he himself is doing. The model of Jesus is for your life personally, for your church. The churches aren't heathen today. You know, the King James Bible is still top Bible outside the churches. And the NIV is second, and all the others have small portions. But in summary of this part, watch to see where God is working and joining. Where is he actually working? You know, what is sometimes disturbing, once you've become born again, one of the greatest tragedies among God's people is that while they still have a deep longing to experience God, to get what you've got, to get where you are, they're experiencing God day and day, but don't know how to recognize Him, His voice. And by the end of some time, the idea is to find ways to recognize the activity of God in and around your life. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the Bible, the King James Bible, it tells you what to do. That's your instructor. And it'll help you know when and where God's working. And see, once you know where He's working, you'll see the signs. You'll adjust your life to join Him where He's working at, not the other way around. You see. He's always working around you. He wants you to join and fulfill His will. He gives you little hints along the way, y'all. Well, and in the same way, when you discern God's will, it involves looking at the big picture. Now, I keep preaching about this in my broadcast to not get involved in little trees and bushes, but look at the big picture of what's going on today. To step back and don't be pulled away in little side trails. When all the stars come into view, you kind of begin to understand the big picture you call the personal will of God. One star that you might find to the big picture is your biblical guidance. And if you don't have the right Bible, you're not going to get the right guidance. And always, one of the comebacks is, well, I got saved by the NIV. I got saved by the New King James, whatever. Okay, fine, you did, all right. But when you do Bible study, how is it when you try to do Bible study and you're missing verses? They're not there. How do you argue that point? I don't see how people do that. How can you argue the missing 200 verses out of the NIV? 100,000 words out of the New King James Bible. The changing the wording. How do you justify that? As a theologian, a professional. I call it hee-haw. You know why? They go hee-haw around. It's how, when you ask them, they get mad at you. When they can't answer you, they get mad at you. I've seen two preachers do that with me. They'll give you a theological answer and wish-wash around here and there. And then when you finally pin them down, they just get mad at you. And it's crazy. Those of you that are supervisors, former military leaders, you learn leadership. Well, God's the same way. Did He not come down here and live in the poor? Did He not come down here and suffer? Did He not come down here and do everything we could even think of doing and more? See, God will never ask you to do something contrary to His word. That's one of the things that God can't do. But He demands obedience in the clearly revealed things, and obedience to the commission, the make disciples may thrust you out, and it will draw fire. So biblical guidance is one way of the stars. Another star is the opinion and counsel of others. Older and wiser leaders. Now, this is getting few and far between, though. Some of those have already been vetted out by death, distraction, or whatever else, as we've seen. You need to find a good example on earth. But Jesus is the best example. Maybe your gifts and abilities. Number three. God's entrusted us with certain unique personal resources. How are you going to use them? And then that is what you answer for at the judgment seat of Christ. I gave you this to do, now what did you do with it? How will you use them? How have you used them will be the question. Another thing, another way, is opportunities and situations. If your job asks you to take an overseas position, or your church leaders invite you on a short-term mission trip, or who knows, maybe to join something to cause things to happen, that might be an opportunity for you to spread the word of God. Maybe that day you'll witness to somebody and you save one person that day. I don't know. It's between you and the Holy Spirit to let you know that. And desires. Once the missionary said that his desire to travel might be God's way of directing him towards service. Something you like doing that God may use in his plan. Supernaturally. Family, in the same way that the Holy Spirit works on a human, you're possessed by the Holy Spirit when you take Jesus as your Savior and you repent. Y'all into this health thing? I'm not really into the, you know, super health and super foods and all this regiment of people that people go through and so forth. The detoxing and borax, whatever. You know, I mean, I don't go around eating just all cotton candy, okay? But, you know, people are into this thing, really. And so when they say, well, I'm going to detox my body. Uh-huh. So they're going to detox their body. So they take all this stuff, whatever they take, I don't know. And they go for water only and whatever y'all do that stuff. And they detox their body completely. Why? To bring in the good stuff. Flush out the bad. Okay. Let's use that. Sin is in the body. And, well, actually, I hate using the word. It's terrible, but negative energy. Now, forget I said that. It's sin brings in demons in your body. Now, the New Agers, New Age folks, and the philosophical kind of people and all that, they call it negative energy. Well, it's true, but the energy are demons. They're like little persons. I've talked about this before. And they have specialties. This is what they call energy. And if you want to call positive energy, whatever, it's really the Holy Spirit. They just got these secular philosophical names for it. So when you invite the Holy Spirit in, you're pretty much possessed by a benevolent Holy Spirit. So you can't have both. There's no such thing as yin and yang duality as they describe it. They say you have to have both in you. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. It's like oil and water. God's a just God. He's not going to cohabit in the body with an evil entity one side or another. It don't work that way. You got to flush it all out. And that's by repentance and taking Jesus as Savior, asking him to come in your life. You can't do it yourself. And if any of you have, wow, man, you better bottle that up and sell it on the market because nobody's ever done it on their own. They say, do as thou wilt is the whole of the law is their motto, but not one of them's done it yet. Ask him to create a universe. I'm waiting to see it. Without paper mache and twigs and string, they can't do it. You see, come back from the dead. You can. Anton LaVey didn't make it back. You see, they can't, but they live with that. That's their false hope. Another way would be taking steps of faith in one direction. A step of faith. Whoo-hoo, that's scary. A step of faith. Make sure you pray and have in touch with your Holy Spirit that can help you affirm God's will as he either redirects you or confirms the direction you take. It might be somebody coming up to you and say, confirming what you were thinking, or you read it in a book and you get that, you know, furry feel, you know, that fuzzy feeling, or somebody mentions it to you, or you hear it 2-3 times, to reaffirm it. Planning to go, but willing to stay. Another way would be a need. It's not the only star in the picture. Certainly shines brightly. But God may use your knowledge of people without Jesus to compel us out. In other words, it certainly motivated Paul, for example, in Romans 15, verse 20, and 1 Corinthians 9, 16 to 17, that in these two scriptures, many of the great leaders of missions history were guided by these. You had a theologian named Cam Townsend. He met people who did not have the Bible in their mother tongue. God called him to learn the language and translate the Bible. He later founded what is now called the Wycliffe Bible Translations. Of course, the only true Bible that's complete is King James. Tyndale also had a good Bible. Although not complete, was translated, but it was a good Bible. But the King James is better because it's got all the scriptures in it. That's the difference. A need. And miraculous means. Elizabeth Elliot wrote a book called A Slow and Certain Light. And includes angels and dreams and audible, visible signs, prophecies as all ways that God guided people in the scriptures and how he might guide us today. Sometimes you read the Bible. I just can't read the Bible. I don't understand it. Well, just read it. Let God work it out for you. What do they call it? Now, there's a term that a friend of mine always used to use. Oh, yeah, analysis paralysis. He used to use that term. So you'd sit here and say, well, I just can't learn Greek, and I just can't read it. I can't learn this. I can't do that. Let me get around to it. I don't feel like it right now. And then by that time, it's 6 months have passed. You know, and you're still worrying about it. What does Nike say? Just do it or something like that. Just read it. I just don't understand the these and thous. You know, I don't. What's that got to do with it? Just read it. God will guide you. Start small. A little effort does matter. Start here. You're all attending a Bible study. If I can improvise and provide one, I guarantee you anybody here listening tonight would be able to. You know, it's not easy, though, to develop a second language and go overseas and all that. That takes time, granted. But when it's done, God can use these efforts to prepare us for something international. Starting now is when you could do things now. Handing out tracts, talking to people, praying for divine appointments, wherever God leads you, wherever you are. Sometimes you can't talk about it at work, I understand that. But God can always set up a place and a time and how you're going to do it. So, some questions that to know God's will for your life. What would that be? To pick a card, any card, what would you do? Well, you ask yourself, what do I really want? That'd be a good start. And I told you what the right question was. What's God's will? I'll branch up to it. But what do you really want? You know, it's obvious, but most of us will never answer this simple question. Not clearly, anyways. We may think we know, but we couldn't put it down on paper in a complete sentence. If you can, good for you. But otherwise, because we've never tackled the challenge of drilling down in our desires, we've been so busy working, making the buck and all this. And then you spend the rest of the time relaxing to forget what you've just done all day because it's so dreadful. Or stressful or whatever. By that time, it's time to sleep. You get up, you're all over again. Isn't that how it works? We've never tackled the challenge of drilling down into your desires. To aim at nothing in particular, then you get frustrated because you hit nothing in particular, and this goes and goes. What do you really want? Something else you might ask yourself. Am I truly seeking God's kingdom first? Bingo. That takes you away from our own problems. Don't mean you let your problems go to the waste or mount up on you. But you manage them. Take the most stressful one first. But are you truly seeking God's kingdom first? Kind of like our why will determine our what. Who's on first? You know, you ever saw that? Abbott Costello? They're members of the Water Club. The River Rats. River Rats was a Masonic order back in the day of entertainers, singers, songwriters, and comedians. That's why Peter Langford and Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. were called the Rat Pack, because they were members of the Masonic order called the River Rats. Abbott Costello was a part of them, too. Did you all know that? That's how it works, man. Who's on first? So your why will determine your what and your how. You're joint heirs in the kingdom of heaven. Yes, a good must be in your highest priority. What is God's will first? Remember that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like the man who discovers treasure in a field and sells all he has to buy it. Only you can know your own motives with any certainty. Only you can. So, pretty much instead of assuming you have the best ones, let's try admitting that your desires are often less than admirable. Are we not dealing with a physical world first? But make sure they're lining up with God's kingdom's priorities, the big picture, and not just those of a materialistic American dream. And boy, we got that. I mean, that is slam dunk. I mean, really. How about Madonna? I'm a material boy. I wouldn't say girl, because that made me transgender. But I'm a material girl, she says. Did you know that Burke Peerage and Ancestry.com and several others have confirmed not only the Kerry, Romney, Bush, Cheney cousinry of the Merovingian bloodline, but also Madonna is a very high priestess in the Luciferian order, like Billy Clinton is a high priest in Luciferian, and so is Pat Buchanan. They wear the robes, the black and red robes, and go around doing all that weird stuff. That's what they do. Madonna is a high priestess. A lot of the singers of the 60s were into witchcraft. A lot of the songs were based on that. Got the idea? The songs are teaching points for decades to teach the baby boomers the art of witchcraft without them even knowing it. Ooh, boy. Y'all put your jaws back in order. That's how Satan works. To get you away from the will of the Father. To keep you busy and tied up. We have the American dream, which is materialistic. Have you asked for and pursued wisdom from God? You know, it's one thing to ask for wisdom. It's another to seek it like a hidden treasure under your feet. Wisdom is the main thing, according to Proverbs. It's available to all who ask for it. And that in faith. And that in faith from God of all wisdom. James 1, verses 5 and 7. Are you asking with fervent, focused prayer and fasting? Not only does fasting and praying work for determining the will of the Father for you, well, His will, so you can follow up with it, but prayer and fasting also to exorcise demons out of folks by prayer and fasting. Not just prayer, but some are so strong and powerful, like in the second heaven, demons, needs fasting as well. And fasting is with food, not with your favorite video game or going to golf and you quit doing it. That's not fasting. Today's modernized days is, I've had a preacher tell me that, that fasting can be all kinds of different ways. Really? If you could go back in time, could you want to tell that to Cain? Cain found out different. It's laid down what was supposed to be sacrificed. He decided to go his own way. It wasn't a video game, but either way it didn't work. Life is in the blood. Sustenance, food is what keeps you going. Water. So you're sacrificing food in fasting. Gives you that power. Matthew 17:21. To exorcise demons, Jesus told the strong ones, Jesus told the disciples, howbeit this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. They took that scripture out of the Bible. And in Matthew, Mark 9:29, I believe it is, howbeit this kind can only come out by fasting. They took out the word, by prayer. They took out the word fasting. Now, why would they do that? Does that make it easier to read? Or is it because they corrupted it so you wouldn't know how? Yep, that's why. You see how this is so contrived, set up, to get you from doing the will of the Father? To keep you from pursuing and acquiring wisdom? So not only by prayer and fasting to exorcise demons, but also prayer and fasting to get true wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Now, if you think you got it on your own, good luck. If you think you need God to help you, the Holy Spirit, God bless. You see what I said? I don't say good luck to you anymore because that's occultic. Oh, Tommy, you're going over the edge here. Not really. When I started getting into this study several years ago, I realized the old cute thing of reading. Now, y'all do what you want. I don't know. This is just me talking. But this is what I do, and it's what I don't do. That even the fortunes and fortune cookies, I don't read those. I don't see any need in it. Horoscopes, I used to read them and found them cute and all that, you know, and you say, wow, that really worked the other day. Or that, wow, that. I quit doing that years ago. I hadn't watched the TV in 6 years. I got rid of all that. It just came natural. It just came like, this is all scripted. There's nothing real on TV. Nothing's real. Nothing. Man, even the news is contrived through the Council of Foreign Relations. Literally. Now, local news might tell you about they had an accident here or today's the bridge down and so forth is taken, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, you know. But for the most part, international news, national news and the false flags and all that, conjured up, man. It's designed to manipulate. That's the only purpose of it. Ooh. Sitcoms, cartoons, very serious because they use these to manipulate the mind to get you away from the will of the Father. This is what it boils down to. When I read horoscopes or if I read the fortune cookies and all this stuff, I'm giving permission to the occult to act in my life. And that's how sometimes these come true. Because I've given over by playing the Ouija, by reading these things, by going into a seance, by going into these places, tattoos, parlors, whatever. I'm giving permission for the supernatural to act on my body. God's veil around me gets thin. See how that works? Because I've given permission. So, now don't take my word for anything. Do your own research on these things. Now, have you gotten wise counsel? You know, there's a safety in wise counselors. Proverbs 11:14. You know, scripture covers everything. How sad were those guys smart back then? How could they be so smart? Because God guided them. That's how. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Have you gotten wise counselors? Isn't there a management trick, procedure? No, a management tactic. I forgot what you call it. I don't remember. You learn it in management. And you put on your board of directors in your mind certain figures in history that you want to advise you because you studied them. So you might have on your panel of directors, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, you know, some other, is he what I'm doing here? So you got in your mind, so when you come up with a problem, you go to your board of directors in your mind, and what would they do? What would they say if you were the president and you were the head of it, and you talk to your board of advisors, and you've got these famous men in history that are your advisors, what would they say to lead you into the right decision? Well, in my case, is I got one. One. And that's Jesus. You see, so what would he do? Not what seven, you know, historical figures, because some of them probably Illuminati anyway. And that's actually true when you look back in the history. Have you gotten wise counsel? How about teens who consult their peers for advice? Can't talk to the parents. Parents aren't home anyway. When they do come home, they're too busy. Go up, coming back from late, commuting or getting home late and then they're tired to relax and you want to learn something or talk about it. Can't do it. What you were taught today was something against what you were taught in Sunday school and you want to tell something about it and nobody's there to hear. Because everybody's working. Everybody's stressed out. And that's how they got us going. Now you see where the feminist movement came in on that one. But whether or not to obey the parents' instructions. But you know, as adults, they do the same thing. It's when you seek a wide array of counsel from those that's been there, done that, and you get clarity from your true options. But Jesus is our option. He's the example. And do you have all the facts? Like Friday says, just the facts, ma'am. Sometimes you just don't know what we should know in order to make a wise decision. We jump at it. What would Jesus do? When Mary stood at the empty tomb and accused the gardener, right, of stealing Christ's body, she thought she had all the facts. She's wrong. That was Jesus. She didn't expect him to come back. And he also looked different in his glorified body. When Peter drew his sword in the garden, he didn't trust his assessment of the situation. He trusted his own assessment. And when you don't know what you don't know, you're in trouble. Kind of turn over a few rocks, dig a little deeper. Be sure you know what you know. Make your decision on verifiable facts. How about that speech? I forgot the name of the speech already. The most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. What was the Department of Defense guy with Bush? Forgot his name. He had that ridiculous speech he gave one time. we know what we don't know. We don't know what we do know. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. I can't remember the name. Donald Rumsfeld. What we know, we don't know. Donald Rumsfeld. Remember that? Unbelievable. He said that on TV. In that interview. A request or an explanation. Family, there's no mistakes in the King James Bible. It tells you what we need to know. And it's clear. Now, sometimes, granted, we get distracted, and when you read it, it's like, man, I don't understand what that means. I've got three or four commentaries I use. I know some that I trust. And I'll use two or three if I have something I really don't understand. But if any of them contradict, and if there's this kind of comment like this, there are known knowns. There are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we know we don't know. But there's also the unknown unknowns. There are things we don't know we don't know. Now, this individual said this on the air. Can you imagine? Well, the King James Bible is clear. There's times when you might not know. But you see, that was a slip, wasn't it? But see, he confounds those who seek to read the Bible. And these, the ones that's atheist, the ones that are trying to discredit the Bible, will read it intensely and study it more than a Christian would. And know it better than a Christian, but they'll not have the true answer. They'll not see the hidden meanings. They will not discern how it fits in the scheme of things. And so that will be shown out. It'll be demonstrated when you discuss it with the individual. You'll see clearly. Because they're searching the Bible to find ways to discredit the Bible. That's where God hides the truth and keeps them from wisdom. Tomorrow night, I'm going to talk about God's power for reaching the world. And it kind of tags along with tonight. About the Holy Spirit and how God's power for reaching the world is lined up with his will, which is what we're talking about tonight. And what's his power that he's going to give you to do God's work, forming a relationship, an invitation. God then speaks. You'll have a crisis of belief. Then you got to adjust to it and then to obey and experience his love. God works through his servants. That's why he made us. We'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you for tonight, this Bible study. Lord, to guide us in your will, that we can learn what your will is, Lord, that we can follow up with it. That, Father, you'll teach us, give us what we need to fulfill thy will. Father, we pray for a hedge of protection around us and our families. And keep back those fiery darts come from Satan. Then, Father, you'll give us the ability to witness out and reach out to others. And for those that want to stick hard to their materialistic ways, that, Father, you'll soften their hearts with other divine appointments. That somewhere along the way, they'll take Jesus as Savior. Father, give us the courage, wisdom, to be forgiving. Father, to keep us humble before your word. And Father, we pray for return of Jesus Christ as soon as we can, as soon as possible, Lord. But in thy will be done, Father, to use us to reach others until that day comes. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, that was a quick hour. Went by fast. Tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock, Bible broadcast. I'm going to talk more about the feminist movement, which I'm finding is like a mushroom, man. It is how much that has affected our lives is incredible. that feminist movement is just not a feminist movement. It goes beyond that. It's way beyond. What it's done is amazing. Not a good thing, but it's a very interesting study. And also reminds you, we're randomly played up at highpointradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. He plays our broadcast randomly, frequently. I'm hearing it myself. And he's up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, highpointradio.net. He plays it up there. Visit my website, watchmenforjesus.com. And I don't have a lot of bells and whistles on it. I use it primarily for my broadcasting. I have studies there as well. And it's been there for quite a while. And my Facebook is Watchmen for Jesus. And it's moving along quite well as also. So, family, I appreciate y'all dropping by this afternoon, this evening. We're coming to a close of another week and start another one next Monday. Tomorrow night, 4 o'clock broadcast, 8 to 9 Bible study tomorrow night as well. And here we go. Family, one of these days, with these controlled opposition of other broadcasters and what have you, some of their threats and some of their fear-mongering tactics is going to come true. It's hard to say which one, hard to say when. 2015, 2017, whatever. You know, live your life. Be watchful. Witness to others and do God's will. Everything else will take care. Don't let them put fear. When you get fear, your faith will leave. It'll depart. You try to do it yourself? Tell me one human that's done it by themselves and it's succeeded. Not a darn one of them. Do God's will. Y'all have a good night. I'm going to play one of my favorite ones. And we're going to close off for tonight. Thank you for coming by. God bless and good night. This is Watchman. Signing off.
Thank you. the grave.